We've been gone for a while. At least it feels like it. Glad to be back. It's good to be back. Always good to be around the Compass crew. I like the family. Mission statement. We've been working through a mission statement. Can we see the mission statement? Compass is a fresh expression of the church. Biblically true, safe environment where people are free to belong, grow, and serve. I like it. It's a good one. Free. We're going to talk about freedom today. I like freedom. It's a great topic, especially when I've got two little granddaughters on their way here. I need all the freedom I can have. Has anyone heard of the not-so-secret rapture? Let me tell you how this thing works. It happens with grandparents all the time. Grandchildren get within a certain proximity to grandparents, and then grandparents slowly slip off. You can see them leave. It's not secret. They just go. If the granddaughters get too close, John, you and the worship team may need to land this plane because Sherry and I are gone. Choop! Out of here. So I'll try and be quick. How's that? Speaking of granddaughters, I don't know who started that topic, but thank you very much. Can I tell you more about my granddaughters? You guys are just a wonderful audience. Wait, let me see. What was I going to say about my granddaughters? I'm going to start something, and you know, when you hear that song that you haven't heard in a while, and then it won't go away, I am sorry right up front for doing this. Please forgive me. A few years ago at a birthday party, Andrew and I had to make a bunch of little props. We do this for birthday parties now. We didn't have to do it when the boys were little. We threw a ball or a stick or a rock out in the yard and told the kids to go play with it. And they'd go do that because they were boys. And then they'd come back and say, "What's to eat?" And it really didn't matter as long as they were together. They just fed them. With little girls, it's different. They're themed parties. They start in Pinterest and they work their way to your home. Remember Frozen?
What?
I'm sorry. I am so sorry, John. For the music guy, we're going there. Trust me. That's where we're headed. Sorry. Elsa and Anna, I had no idea who these people were. Papa, Elsa's this one and Anna's that one. And we're going to dress like them. Oh, okay. Can you do pictures like that? Sure, why not? Like life-size pictures? Sure, who cares? We made all sorts of stuff for Elsa and Anna. There were table settings, there were food, the punch was frozen. I mean, everything was themed. It was blues and greens, and it was amazing. Cakes, it was all there. And in the background played the movie. Do you know that that year, 2014, that Disney grossed $1.29 billion just off the movie worldwide? $1.29 billion. Let it go. Insane. The cultural relevance of this movie is changing how we view life. Culture changes lots of things. I wish it was the culture in here all the time, but it's not. Little girls, babysitters, brothers, parents, grandparents, we're all humming, if not singing, the words to the song. They embedded themselves into our minds. Never more to leave. They changed the definition of freedom. I listened to a little girl sing it. She was my granddaughter, and it was precious. She had a mic, and she wanted all of us to watch her. She had all the moves down. She could spin and pirouette. And if I ever lost gaze, she was watching, Papa, and I would have to come back. She would stop in the middle of a lyric. Got it. Okay. These are the words. It's time to see what I can do. To test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. When we read our mission statement, I don't think that's what it means. But that's what we think. The culture says to be free is to take away all rights and wrongs and rules. It's my narrative. It's my normal. I choose. You don't. The antithesis of that, the opposite. How's that for a good word? Many would say the enemy to true freedom is Christianity. My right to be free is abolished in Christianity. Or so we might think. The prophet Isaiah penned these thoughts. They're the thoughts of Lucifer. Can we bring that up? It's our first text. It's in Isaiah. In your heart you said, I will scale the heavens above the stars of God. I will set up my throne. I will take my seat on the Mount of Assembly. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Okay, so it's not a direct quote from a movie, but it has that sense. No right, no wrong. It's all about me. I choose. It's an age-old challenge that we've had. It continues on. It's not going away. But how do I deal with it? How do I navigate this crazy thing? Because we have a world that really believes that it's whatever I choose. The problem is it doesn't fit quite right. And we can't make it fit or work. So I came to the thought of evolution. It's hard to deny what man has and continues to accomplish. But with all we have done, is it possible that we've become enamored with what we have done, with our accomplishments? It's kind of crazy, we the created, putting great stock in what we have done all by ourselves, all the while forgetting that our next breath, our next heartbeat comes from the Creator. That's an awesome thought. In the Gospel book of John, there's a conversation between Jesus and Jewish believers. Let's read that. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you remain in my word, you will truly be my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been enslaved." Think of this. Their comment to Jesus was, "We have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Amen, amen. I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in a household forever, but a son always remains. So if a son frees you, then you will truly be free. I know that you are descendants of Abraham, but you are trying to kill me because my word has no room among you." We're going to try and unpack a little bit of that today. This is one of the more famous free verses that talks about this free. Freedom, slavery, and set free. In this dialogue, they assert that they have never been slaves. Had they forgotten Babylon, Egypt, even right now, Rome? They're under the oppression of the Roman government. So what are they talking about? Never slaves. It's a beautiful place to be, actually. We kind of worry that somehow they're forgetting. No, they're not forgetting at all. They actually understand greatly that they have truly never been slaves. How do you unpack that? They have been God's child, his children, his possession. Their identity has not been found in where they have been found, but rather placed in a God Almighty. And they trusted him implicitly. Oh yeah, there were problems and they strayed, and there's all the stories that we can read about. But these folks understood they had never truly been slaves. They had been God's. There's a huge difference. Freedom is relative. It's relative to the forces beyond our control, physical, social, political. Yeah, they were enslaved physically. They were enslaved socially. They were enslaved politically. But it is also based on how we relate to those barriers. Let me give you an example. What if my doctor says, Mark, you're never going to really walk well again with the knee that you have because it's all messed up. So we're going to cut that one out and give you a new one. And I say, no, I like the way I walk. It's tilted and I fall a lot, but I kind of like it. It's my walk. If I hadn't had this thing cut out and changed, I would have had a challenge there. What if my doctor comes back and then says, you know, Mark, you really need to lose some weight. You've gotten to be kind of chunky. So you need to take a few pounds off. And I say, nah, I'm pretty set on what I eat. I am free to eat whatever I want to eat. And I like going to Sonic and just scooping all that stuff in and eating it and wherever else I go. I want to eat as much as I want to eat. He says, well, you're going to have a short-lived life then. Yeah, but no right, no wrong. I'm free. Am I really? Or am I choosing freedoms? See, it's what freedom I want to choose. What slavery I want to be beholding to. The freedom to do whatever I want, eat whatever I want, stay up as late as I want. Or should I get some sleep? Should I get to work on time? It's strategic freedoms. I give up this right so that I might obtain another right. What's for those of you in school? You go to school to obtain a diploma, I think. That's what you do now. I don't know. Maybe everybody gets a ribbon. I'm sorry, that was not called for. You do that so you can obtain other freedoms. Yeah, but I like to walk around town during school hours. I really don't want to be constrained by the bell, by homework, by a teacher's desire for me to actually learn something. I would really rather just walk around town. And more likely than not, you will do that the rest of your life. Just walk around town. How about going to work and doing whatever you want to do? I don't know if you've seen the advertisement, but I would really rather work. It would fit my schedule better if I could get there about 10:30. And what I'd really like to do is just sit here at your desk, Mr. Boss Man, or ma'am, I don't care how you put that, and just sit here. And if I could just work on my phone all day, that would really fit my basic needs best. If the HR director hires you, if you wouldn't mind calling me afterwards, I'd like to know where that is. Because more likely than not, that job's not opening up for you. See, freedom is kind of weird. And we say, we just got to be free. It's moral relativism. It's whatever I decide. Really? Maybe not. We give up some freedoms to gain others. We strategically say no to some constraints to find others that liberate us. See, on a personal level, Valentine's is coming up. So, I'm a good guy. I ask Sherry, hey, you want to go out? Kind of suave, huh? The way I just put it out there. Just don't even ramble in anything. Just, hey, you want to go out? And then the night comes. We're supposed to go out. And I say, you know, already I know this isn't going to end well. This is not. But I wrote it, so I better go through with it. I tell her, look, I'm really not going to be able to make this. You see, I've got to break through. You know, be free. Trust me, what I'm going to hear is she's going to tell me there is going to be a break of some type. I'm going to, ouch, just leave it right there. Because you see, in a loving relationship, we both have to set aside some of our freedoms so that we might gain a level greater of love and true freedom. When we both give up and sacrifice, love grows. Most of us know those relationships where it's only one-sided. That's known as exploitation. That's a big word, but look it up. It often happens by creating our own moral universe. I said freedom, now we're going to go to slavery. Jesus says in his talk to these Jewish converts, new Christians, he says this: the deepest form of slavery is sin. So he understands that they have not seen themselves as slaves to anyone. They have taken the moral high ground and seen themselves as God's children. And that's a wonderful place to be. But he kind of twists it on them back again. And he says, I understand what you're saying, but the greatest form of slavery is sin. If there is a God, he has directives. The picture he paints are servants having a boss. This one kind of got close to home for me. So as long as we do what we are supposed to do, we get to stay. I'll let that sink in, and I'm going to kind of work some thoughts from that. But once we fail, we are gone. Have you ever felt yourself within this God setting, us and God, that if we ever fail, we are gone? That's what happens when you're a servant and God is a boss. As long as I perform, God has to answer my prayers. He has to let me into heaven. Because I am doing what the boss has required of me. So he must. But isn't that still slavery? It's not out of love that we do these things, but out of what we will get in return. We realize that there's no such thing as not worshiping. The only thing that ever changes is what the object is. We all worship. It's part of us. It's imprinted on us. We have to. But if the main thing that gives us meaning and hope isn't God, it's something else. It's an object. What if it's money? Well, we're never going to have enough. Emergencies are going to arise. I.e., example, furnace, hot water heater, and air conditioner all went out last month. It's nothing money won't pay for. Wait, we don't have enough. Gone. I mean, what's 10 grand among friends? I mean, really, when you think about it. And Sherry's going, it's really cold in here. Suck it up, buttercup. No, I didn't say that. It's like I'm lighting stuff on fire. What's that? That's the floor. Anything to get heat. We just want warmth. Emergencies arise. Our bank accounts dwindle. Our potential for earning power diminishes. It changes. So if that's the thing that we're hanging our hat on, we're in trouble. Health and beauty, of course, you know that that's mine. Okay, so it's not. But it was funny, wasn't it? Johnson, that's hysterical. Mirror, mirror on the wall. another movie, but I finished it. Can I finish it now? Can I read it? This was really funny this morning. It's not quite as good now. What is this that's happened to you overall? Breaking down. My knees are going. My hair is leaving. I'm growing hair where I never grew hair before. Look, Papa, what's that coming out of your ears? Be quiet, girls. We'll braid it later. Health and beauty are fleeting. They leave. They're gone. So money won't make it. Health and beauty aren't going to make it. How about intellect? That's my real big one there. Go ahead, you figure out the math problem in that new book that the fifth grade uses. What is this? Have you read the problems? I've substitute taught. They hand me the book. I'm going, whoa, yeah. What? Recess for 4 hours. We're skipping math. It's craziness. Smartphones make me look stupid. You see, on the intellectual side, the bar always moves up. It constantly moves up. They say information is doubling. And Greg, we talked about this a while back. Like every 6 months, is that right? I think we brought it up when we were doing some court team stuff. Information is doubling every 6 months. Does that make sense? Oh, I'm going to just rest on my intellect. Really? Wow. But we worship something. And as fun as I can make that all sound and almost trivial, I've rested in each of them a little bit and put my hope in those things and hoped that somehow they were going to pull me through. The worshiping of stuff. It's sad if it's not God, the stuff consumes us. It destroys us. For you see, those masters are focused inward. Not outward. And they are cruel taskmasters. They hold us to the fire in a way that we just can't ever outperform them. Jesus is the only master who sets us free. You see, he will satisfy us when we let him in. Scripture says he stands at the door and knocks. If we let him in, he comes in and satisfies. He brings a feast to us. He forgives us when we fail. He's the only master that does that. And trust me, we will fail. At the end of this conversation, he says they are looking for a way to kill me. So he looks at the Christians and he says, those gathered around, you're looking for a way to kill me. You see, the cross is never far. It's never far from the mind of Jesus. For it is the thing that saves us. It liberates us. In true freedom, we give up the right for self-determination. It's like a marriage relationship. We give up certain freedoms. We take up our cross daily. Sherry's had to carry hers quite a bit. We assume that he is God and we are not. And we do this that we might get the richness of life. You know, I've listened often. Kay has shared in some of our talks about kids and how we should love kids unconditionally and how that all works. Here's another way to read this and see it. If we are loved but not known, it is superficial. If we are known and not loved, it may be man's greatest fear. But if we are known to the depths and then loved to the moon, that is life and life itself. To follow Jesus, we give up our freedoms. And then some would say, and secular man might look and say, yeah, but what about God? He has everything. You talk about this, God, what did he give up? I just ask you to look at John, the 3rd chapter, the 16th verse, and reset it in your head and your heart. What did he give up? Upon the cross, collectively, man mocked him. We denied him. We betrayed him. On the cross, he saw us. He experienced us at our very, very worst. He saw what we were capable of. And in this great act, he stayed just the same. He could have left, but he stayed. And he freed us from ourselves, our enslavement. But then we say, but wait a second, God. Man, I've done some things that are really, really bad. And in the back of my head, I know the truth. I did some of these things after I claimed to be a Christian. You see, I know the truth about me. The one slide that we haven't put up, but we're going to here in a second, it's the 10 worst moments of someone's life. We're going to show that slide now, and then we're going to talk about whose life it is. Wait, I didn't make that life. But a few of you got a little nervous, didn't you? The 10 worst things. Would you like that slide to be shown? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? We're in a church, and why would you put that slide up? Why would? But in the back of most of our minds, we wonder, man, could a God ever really love me if he really knew? If the folks that said they loved me knew, would they still? It's a scary thought. Maybe this will scare us too. Are we sure we've done all the rituals, all the traditions, all the things good people are supposed to do? We have this baggage, and when we come together, God says he wants us to know his freedom, the knowledge that we belong, and that we may grow and ultimately serve him. Because we are free. At the cross it was completed, his body broken for us. Through Jesus, all things were made. The Creator broken, past, present, future, all sins forgiven. Paid for in full. And then we sit back and we say, okay, you've done all that, God. That's pretty awesome. But there's some pluses that we've got to put with that. See, I need to continue to do my traditions. And then, see, I'm going to do this so that it'll really be complete. You're getting the picture right, God. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? It's like we say, Lord, Savior, God, all that you did wasn't quite enough. You came and you saved me, but if I just did these few extra things, then you could really love me. And he says, my blood on your cross. I traded my life for your debt. And I have to ask myself, what am I going to add to that? Is there anything I can add to that? Maybe you can say, God, do you need me to do something extra? Really? In closing, it is for freedom that we have been set free. So let us be free indeed. Dear Heavenly Father, may we truly get lost in you. May we find ourselves knowing that we have been truly and totally set free indeed, that we may find a place to belong here or wherever you have us, grow, and to serve you ultimately. We look forward to hearing about that next week. And until then, keep us safe, bring us back together, and bless us, we pray in thy name. Amen.